Hi, and welcome to Jaded HR, a podcast by two of the most people-loving HR professionals you will ever find. My name is Patrick Masoas.
And I'm Warren Workman.
And we love people. That's why we joined the human resources profession.
Because I'm a people person.
Exactly. So welcome back. Thank you for joining us again to Jaded HR. And today, we're going to fill you in with some of the HR goodness that we have all come to know and love.
So, you've got a couple of interesting news articles you pulled up and wanted to share with us. What do you got for us, Patrick?
We'll start with the in the news section here. So one of the things that I was searching for were difficult employees or stupid employees, but difficult employees came up. And Forbes had this wonderful article about 9 ways to deal with difficult employees. And the entire article was about listening and consistency, behavior modification, all the stuff that is just kind of manager speak. But one thing that a question that prompted one of the pieces was, have you ever been held hostage by an irate or difficult employee? So I'll give you an example. I had there's times where an employee just comes in your office and they can't let you go. Or one thing I know is you've been stuck on the phone for a good 2 hours plus with an employee before. I have applauded you for that before. But one of the things that I thought about was just an employee that cornered me in my office at a previous job about his time and just could not grasp the concept of he was paid the PTO hours. It was very clearly on his check. Brought up the time management solution, showed him the PTO on the paycheck. Just one of those things where the employee was not getting what I was laying down, but I was stuck in an office for over an hour of my time just trying to explain this employee why his hours were indeed correct and he was paid for them, you know, all that good stuff. So it just prompted a question if you've ever had a hostage situation at work. HR is, we have so many skills that we need to have, and one of them is hostage negotiation sometimes with ourselves.
Well, I don't know if you remember. There was a time when we worked together. I was trapped on the phone for hours at a time. And because we don't like to use other people's names, you and a very tall female coworker of ours were like coming by periodically and looking at the timestamp on my phone. I think I was on the phone with her for like 2 or 3 hours with this employee that just, I couldn't even tell you today what that conversation was about, but it didn't need to be multiple hours.
I don't think it had anything to do with cheese, probably. We have had conversations that had to do with cheese as a way to explain benefits.
Oh, no, it was not. Oh, that's a legendary. We might have to have that particular person on as a guest.
Speakers.
Yes, to explain how HSA plans are like cheese. I remember that one now. Other than that, I can't remember being held, say, hostage by an employee who you know, and when things like that do happen, my daughter taught me the term the right fighters, the people who they've got a point to make and they're going to make that point regardless of anything else. And they're right and the company or you individually are wrong. And, you know, I don't know what the right term is, but they think you're going to give in because they take up all your time. They don't know how stubborn I am.
Yeah, I think that's a trait that every HR person has to have is stubbornness and not take yourself too seriously and a deep-seated hatred for people. And by hatred, I mean love. That's what this episode's all about.
It's a love. Love fest.
For people who maybe don't know, maybe we have someone listening that is not in the HR or human resources field. Maybe just what would you say your definition of human resources is? Or maybe what it is not? To try to clear some myths, clear the fog.
Oh boy, you know, what it is and is not, you know, first we get a bad rap on through TV shows, movies, you know, we get the oaf of a character who doesn't know up from down which way is they're going and is just really the butt of all the jokes. That's one HR character you get. Another HR character you get is the policeman who is, you know, out to, you know, write everybody up for everything wrong that they ever do, sort of the overly officious type person. And then there's rare instances where to actually portray them as like a actual competent person, but then they start giving them powers and responsibilities that stretch way far beyond anything that HR really does. So, you know, that's where your starting point, you know, you go into like meetings or offices where you're not typically going to, And they walk in, oh, be quiet, HR's in the room now, and, you know, here comes HR, and things like that. That's, you know, it's funny to the first time or two, but 20 years in, it's not so.
Yeah. Yeah, you walk into the break room and everyone immediately quiets down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not like that at all. And also, people from TV, they get the idea that we're there. High school guidance counselor or a shrink or something along those lines, or even worse, the complaint department. They're going to complain about something that is completely beyond HR's ability to solve, you know.
Yeah, we get the TMI department. We just get too much information all the time.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, we are more than an administrative function to the company. We do provide valuable support, you know, especially for larger companies, you know, that have hundreds or even thousands of employees. You know, we become more less of that administrative function to an actual, we can be a value added function under the right circumstances, under the right leadership that can value HR. We can make a difference.
But that's not what this is about. This is about how we've become so jaded that we just don't care and we love people. I mean, hate. We don't even know anymore.
It's a love-hate relationship.
It is a love-hate relationship. So to piggyback on top of that, I want to do a quick story that I found on the internet on the lovely Reddit. Just kind of a they did what scenario, since we're talking about people and employees and all the fun they get into. So this is just a really quick story from Reddit user Cazador. He worked at a nightclub, and one of his workers called in sick that day. But he wasn't actually sick. He decided to go to a party. And I started this out by saying he worked at a nightclub. Guess where the after party he went to for his party? Yeah, his own nightclub that he called in sick to. Silly guy. And yeah, he was fired.
I've had that experience when I worked with teenagers. We actually had people who would call out sick and then show up at where we worked. And they would be removed from the premises. You know, it didn't result in anybody's termination, but that happened so many times. You just called in sick. We have it on, you know, the voicemail call out line that you can't come to work today as you're feeling so awful. And next thing you know, I'll say it was a water park. You're showing up at the water park to have some fun. Doesn't quite work that way.
So smart.
Oh yeah. Brilliant. Or I had another employee. He was a supervisor level, an hourly manager type person, first level manager. He asked for PTO just like the day before, and we couldn't do it. His PTO request was denied. So what happens? He calls in sick. What did he do? He posts all over social media and Instagram that he went to the Luke Bryan concert and all that other fun
yes.
stuff. So, yes.
Yeah, social media. We'll get into that more too, I'm sure. People always have to get themselves into trouble.
Unfortunately, we couldn't fire any of our... We never ended up firing any of our people for that. We just escort them out and then, you know...
I imagine it's easier at like a restaurant or a nightclub where maybe you don't have such extreme HR principles, or maybe not even really an HR department. So maybe it's more of a manager question. But yeah, we would definitely get more in a little more trouble with consistency if we didn't give this person a warning or documentation, you know, document all these calls, or if it just happened one time and you give them a chance and first warning, a second warning and all that stuff. So sometimes the smaller employers, I think, have it a little bit easier because they can just say, yep, we don't have time for this. We got a business to run.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I think that would be a benefit of a really small company, you know, 25, 30 employees, whatever, like a nightclub or something like that would have, you know, that would make it a lot easier. You know, the individual managers, everybody knows everything. You know, when you get to companies, even the size of our companies that we work at, you know, you don't even know the names of half the people you work with, or actually, you know, their name. You could never match a face to them. Yeah. And
if you do know their name, there's someone you deal with way too much. If HR knows your name, it's not really a great thing.
Yes. It's
unfortunate.
We used to tease about that when we worked together, that, you know, if we know your name, something's not generally right.
It's kind of a sad state of our industry, I guess, too, because it's so much is focused on the negative, which we tend and will do mostly here, but, you know, we don't recognize the people that we never hear about because we don't hear about them.
But they're the ones that are doing what they're supposed to do, nose to the grindstone, you know, doing doing their job. We don't have to get involved with those people.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe the industry would be a better place and a little more positive if it's not jaded. It's a little too safe for us, I think, here. Yeah, I'm trying to revolutionize. I'm trying to, like, turn us around. And we're, instead of jaded HR, we're going to be revolutionized HR. We're going to change the face of the human resources industry.
Hey, we can do it. We can.
I can't even say it with a straight face because I just don't care.
No, but, you know, I think you started lead into it a little bit earlier. To be in HR after so many years of experience, yeah, everybody wants to be that, you know, cheery, peppy, oh, I love people, I'm going to help, I'm going to change the world. But then you have to deal with the people and you understand what you are dealing with. And, you know, day one, you're coming in, oh, I'm going to be, you know, make all these changes and do this, that, the other thing. But day two, you've got to talk to Bobby about personal hygiene now. And, you know, takes a lot of the fun out of your job.
Yeah, if someone were to come to you and interview and say they are interviewing for an HR job because they love people, what would be a good industry to recommend they try? I'm sitting here trying to think of a more people-oriented industry.
Go down to
Florida in general. That's where all the special people should be. Anyone listening in Florida, you're special to us.
Very special.
So special.
But no, you know, that is actually one of the interview questions when I'm interviewing for HR people. I ask them, why do you want to be in HR? And it's virtually a slam dunk eliminator if you say, well, I'm a people person. If you start, I'm a people person, then that conversation is not going to go too far too quickly.
Yeah, I think all true HR professionals out there will agree with that statement. I know many directors and managers I've worked for have had that same sentiment. So if you're a true HR professional, you are probably nodding your head right now because
you can only help so many people, so many of the people at any given time. And there's too much people that are monopolizing your time to do the help that you want to do. Like exactly. I said, you're talking to someone about their personal hygiene or about, you know, cooking food in the break room, you know, oxtail or fish or something like that in a microwave that stinks the place up.
Or just eating broccoli at your desk.
Eating broccoli at your desk.
And someone's like, is there a sewage leak? I say that because that happened at our office and it was bad.
Yes.
We were about to call facilities. Nope. Just eating broccoli at your desk. The sad thing is this happened a few times too. Broccoli and, if you're listening, you know who you are, eggs.
Ooh. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, God, love her.
Yes, we love her. But yeah, but that's because, you know, we did things like that as we were such hardworking, dedicated HR people. We spent every lunch at our desk. In our team, right, when we worked together, nobody really went out to lunch. We ate together. We, you know, ate at our desk. We did whatever. You know, I think that that HR team was probably one of the best I'll probably ever be a part of.
Agreed. And you know why? Because we all love the people.
We are all people.
People. Yes. I think that's just the common theme.
Yes. Yeah. No, we had a great team.
So I had a weird segment that I wanted to look at, and it was just kind of weird business practices. This is we were talking about interviews, and I just thought that might be a decent segue, and it's something that Amazon does. Have you ever heard of the Amazon Offer Program?
No, I haven't.
Okay. This probably isn't even funny. I just thought it was really interesting, and I've never heard a company do this, and I'm just curious what you think about it. So once a year, employees with one or more years of service get asked if they would like to leave the company in exchange for a payout based on how long they've been there. So let's say at your yearly review, I don't know if that's exactly how this works, but Amazon comes to you and says, you've been here for 2 years now. You can take this offer now. We're going to pay you some form of payout. I don't have the numbers. The only condition is if you take the offer, once you leave, you can never come back to Amazon.
Interesting.
So, and their theory is it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. This employee gets paid out and maybe they don't really want to be there. So they say, yeah, I was kind of thinking about going somewhere else anyway. So they're only getting people that are truly staying on who actually want to be there and work for that company. I'm calling this segment weird business practices because I've never heard anything like that before, but I do think it's,
no, that is
kind of
weird.
Interesting.
I was thinking the same thing. That's halfway brilliant in my mind because you're culling the herd, if you will, real quick and easy and almost painlessly if you're offering them the buyout. So maybe when you get to 20 years, it's lucrative to say, you know what, I am done.
Yeah, that's the gamble. Someone's been playing the long con. They've been saying they're going to pay me out 20 years. It's going to be $500,000 by then or something, just crazy amount. And
here's a Dunkin' Donuts gift card.
I've hated you the whole time.
I like that.
That's my weird business practice for today, or one of them.
Okay. You know, that reminds me of when I worked at a company once upon a time. Their annual review process was an ABC system. A's were your to be promoted or on track to be promoted. B's were your workers, and C's were let go and replaced. And, you know, I stayed with them for 5 or so years, but
Until you became a C?
I never got to be a C. but I just thought it was very interesting the way they moved you and the way it worked. And it was people knew what was happening. And pretty much a lot of the C's were leaving before they got, you know, their reviews. They basically self-eliminated a lot of times. But that was just really interesting. I wish I could go into much more detail about it, but I probably can't. But I just found it a very interesting review. And there wasn't any forced distribution, so you didn't have to have, 33% of your people be C's. It ended up however it was. So yeah. If you had 10% of your employees were C's or 5%, then that's what it was. And we phased them out. And sometimes we actually place them out of the company to other companies. We could actually successfully do that in a few cases, not terribly many, but it did happen.
It's funny. I was reading a couple different articles going through for preparing for the podcast today. And then one of the evils of HR was actually a ranking system like that, where you have like high performers and top performers and all these things. But it was an article about things that HR professionals have to stop doing. So I kind of find it interesting. There's like that dichotomy of this is a great idea, or this is an awful idea, and stop doing it. I don't know exactly why. I'm a millennial, so I don't read, just kind of read the headlines, but there's two sides, I guess, to every coin. So.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in various HR sites you go, and I think we could have a whole podcast on a performance reviews itself, but about performance reviews and how they are done, even if they're worthwhile. I've been reading a couple things on agile performance review systems lately, and it's really interesting. And I think in the industry I'm currently working in, that might be something that would be beneficial for the company if we could find a way to implement it. It's like I said, we don't have an HRIS system or anything.
Sad world. Speaking of a sad world, they did what? This is my favorite one.
Okay, what'd they do?
All right. So this is from a Reddit user that's been deleted. So I'm going to call them Sally RN. And they worked at a hospital. And this hospital had a cool feature. They had a dog park attached to it. So people that were maybe visiting or for whatever reason, I can't really think of a good reason to bring your dog unless a service dog, but it was a place that people could take their dogs while they were at the hospital. They could go to the bathroom, do all that stuff. And, you know, one of the agreements of having a dog park is owners are going to pick up after their dogs. That was going on fine. But after a while, there were like large poops being left in the dog park and the owners weren't picking it up. So the hospital posted a big sign, please pick up after your dog. And they even set up a camera. Come to find out, a night shift nurse was going out there and shitting in the dog park for whatever reason and got caught on camera. So this is a story of the night pooper.
Wow.
And he got fired.
Wow.
I didn't want to give you too much.
No, you just gave me the night nurse and I had no clue of where that was going to go. Wow.
There's Thank so you, Reddit.
There's so much going wrong there. Wow.
Yeah, having a dog park at a hospital.
That in itself is a little bit bizarre.
A little bit weird. I'm going to have to do some research on this. I will say, I'm taking these Reddit users at their word that these things actually happen.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Exactly. I think Abraham Lincoln said that.
Yes.
But yeah, that's my final. They did what?
Yeah, they did what? That's a good one.
I think that's the epitome of the they did what segment.
I don't even know where to go from there.
Leave it at that.
Leave it right there, literally. So, okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to try and bring up today is the coronavirus. It's in all the news right now. Companies are taking action. Oh, yeah, good thing you're 30 miles away from me right now. The coronavirus is getting all sorts of crazy news, and for good reason. But do we really have to be worried about it at this point where we are in the United States? Yeah, as of this morning on March the 4th, when we're recording this, there are about 100 confirmed cases in the United States. The United States has about 330 million people. Do that division, your calculator gives you something with those e to the negative whatever numbers. It's an infinitesimally small number.
I've already gone to Sam's and bought all the toilet paper. that's what I was told you had to do. So I'm ready.
There's a shortage now of a hand sanitizer everywhere, hand soaps, antibacterial hand soaps. A company I am somewhat familiar with, I don't work there, is installed multiple hand sanitizing stations throughout their buildings. And even there's a giant sign now on the break room door, all employees must thoroughly wash their hands before entering the break room. And I'm like, you know, this is, I like it that you're being hygienic, but sure. You're getting a little bit out of hand here. I don't think we're at the point of return for the United States.
I think normal flu season kills like 14,000 a year or something ridiculous like that. So really we should be putting these practices into place all the time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And don't even get me started on anti-vaxxers, but yes.
That's a whole other podcast. Yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, anti-vaxxers at work. But no, the flu shot, getting your flu shot is, it's preventable. You know, people, there was an article on CHRM this morning even about employers using those laser thermometers to scan their employees' temperature for their temperatures. And is that something that's legal or not? There were some varying points of view on it, but we're not at that point yet, people. We're, 100 confirmed cases. I think there's been like 9 or 10 deaths in the United States as of, like I said, this morning, March the 4th, but we're not at that point. You know, I was also doing some research to compare other crazy diseases that are out there right now. Do you know there are 17 active cases of the plague?
Yes, I was so hoping you were going to say plague. I did that research the other day, too.
There's 17 active cases of the plague in the United States, but nobody's going out and, you know, killing all the cats and rats and all
that
other
stuff.
Well,
it's the rat. Yeah, it's the fleas. So I actually went and I did some research to see if there were, like, the flea medication for my daughter. that's the only way ever. So that's, you got to keep them out of the house, and she's always all over the place. So my dog has it. Can I give it to my 2-year-old? I don't know.
I would not recommend it.
I just have to make sure she doesn't go hunting the rats, because you just don't want her to stumble into a rat nest during a hunt and bring it back home.
Yes. So. But no, the coronavirus, you know, it is something worth paying attention to, but getting to the point where you're mandating that all your employees wash their hands before entering a break room or things like that. I'm just waiting for the first call out of somebody who's afraid of the coronavirus, you know, in our last episode, I actually talked, we have an employee that was in it, going to Singapore and is now currently in Singapore and had some concerns about the coronavirus before leaving. But, they're there now and, they'll be coming back in a few weeks. And I'll be interested to speak to them about that and, find out what their experience in Singapore was.
Well, putting on my HR hat, which I have not had on this whole time, on the other side of that, these companies that are kind of going a little overboard or gung-ho about it, are they just kind of setting themselves up to not face any lawsuits or issues that they didn't do enough if it were to become an issue? So they're kind of just trying to get ahead of the game? Or you think it's just too much?
I think it's too much. I think they're getting out there a little bit too early.
Taking my HR hat back off now.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're just being a little overly sensitive, overly paranoid about the coronavirus. You know, we've had MRSA, we've had SARS, we've had swine flu, we've had all these other things come and go. But, and this, I think this will just be the next one. as I cough.
Yep. See, SARS.
SARS. Yeah, I'm not going to die of coronavirus. It's going to be SARS.
It's
going
to be SARS. Yeah.
Which SARS is another coronavirus. From my understanding,
I've just been calling it SARS in my office, and everyone hates it. Well, that's kind of a good little segue into my last article I had, and it was just a really simple article about getting stupid employees to follow directions. And I don't think the article itself is that important, but I think it's the point it was trying to get across that I didn't really agree with. But I think you and I both have experience with this type of company, which is they wanted they were comparing managing to parenting and holding that employee's hand and guiding them through, which is kind of like this whole coronavirus thing is you're trying to like baby everybody and make sure everyone's okay. And I don't know, putting up all the hand sanitizer stuff, it's like taking that their responsibility away. Like, see, Warren, I think you need to go. If I had a laser that could go through right now and take your temperature, I would, because I'm worried. Do they know if the coronavirus can pass through microphones?
No, not at this time.
Okay.
No, I just have a tickle in my back of my throat.
Oh, man.
I'm not getting sick, though.
I'm worried. So, yeah, but the whole article, I know that's something that you were very strongly against, which is just, and unfortunately, we've had some experience in the past where it's just the constant hand-holding and the management should be parenting, which, I'm sorry, we're all adults at this point in the workplace. There might be some.
I absolutely agree. I think that, and it goes to what I was saying, what HR is and isn't. So many people expect HR to be even a babysitter at times for employees. And no, there are certain times when, yes, explaining to something to someone like their 2-year-old is important. And that's how you get an important point through. And you can train them. But, you know, I think the article that you referenced about the treating people, the employees like children, it's really interesting. But if you get to that point, you've hired poorly if you get to that point.
That's a great, yeah, I love that. That's a great point.
Worked with, like I said, teenagers for a while. And, you know, even the mediocre ones get it quickly. You know, the bad ones that are too cool for school or whatever, you know, they're going to weed themselves out anyway most of the time. But, you know, they get, I don't think that we're not asking people to go in and be engineers without any experience. You hire them. If you're reading that article, I was just figuring out it must be like a fast food restaurant or something like that, where they're having to handhold and babysit. But it's not that hard. And unfortunately, if you're managing that hard, you hired poorly.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to sum that article I could have put it is if you're having to do these simple tasks, maybe they're just it's not quite the right fit.
Right. And that's where good HR can come in. Take off the jaded hat. That's where good HR comes in. You do a effective recruiting process.
You put that jaded beanie back on.
Yeah, I'd get the...
We're Breaking Bad here.
Breaking Bad. I'll put my... I can't even remember his street name now. Heisenberg hat on.
Heisenberg hat. We can go into my last thing just because I thought it would crack you up.
Okay.
Did you read the article?
I read the two articles you sent me.
Okay, well, did you wear my other? I have a second weird business practice.
I saw the weird business practice. I did not look for an article on it. I didn't.
My weird business practice is vegan discrimination?
Yes.
Can you discriminate against someone for being a vegan? And what is cool and what I think you'll appreciate is this manager found out that, yes, you actually can legally discriminate against them for being a vegan.
Not a protected class.
Not a protected class. And the way he did it was, this is for for Pip's Donuts and Chai restaurant in Portland, Oregon, which I'm sure is a great place, but I imagine that's a pretty vegan-friendly area.
Area, yeah. Pacific Northwest, the West Coast in general.
They had a help wanted ad, but one of the stipulations was no non-medical, non-religious dietary restrictions.
Okay.
And that was kind of a way to, I guess, get around the whole, we can't employ vegans because you have to be able to eat the food so you can tell the customers how delicious our donuts and things are.
I would absolutely agree with that. If you have a product and you want your employees to help promote and sell that product, if they're unwilling, not unable, like you said, it said no non-religious or dietary applicants, but if they're unwilling, you're vegan, you know, you're just choosing not to eat that way. First, why would a vegan want to work in a donut shop anyway?
I imagine there are vegan donuts. And if you're a vegan listening, Yeah, more power to you. But this, I just thought this was very interesting that I never thought about dietary preference as a way to discriminate against somebody, and not saying that you should do that, but it was just interesting for a, it's good to know that someone would not get in trouble for wanting their employees to, especially at a restaurant, to be able to eat the food and be able to talk about the food. And that's just a really, I think, really important coming from a, also a culinary background.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
No, that is cool. And it doesn't surprise me at all. It comes from the West Coast. Everything comes from California, the Pacific Northwest. Colorado's trying very hard. They'll get there. Well, they're actually starting to gain on the game now as well.
But you HR professionals out West, we love you.
Yes, you've got a horrible job. all these California laws, but New Jersey, New York, they're trying to catch up too. Connecticut, Massachusetts. Some of the laws they've enacted just this year, at the beginning of 2020, are very interesting.
So, Warren, do you have a maybe a call to action? What do we want people to that do or do not hear this episode to? Which, by the way, if you've made it this far and actually listened to this podcast, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Jaded R2D2. Yeah,
take two.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Jaded HR. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player to get the latest episodes. Also, be sure to follow us on all your favorite social media channels and check us out on jadedhr.com. We'd love to hear from you, get your thoughts, comments, and if you happen to have a deep HR question you need answered, send it to us. We'll be glad to answer.
Or even just a very interesting story, like one of your nurses pooping in the dog park.
If you are an HR person at that hospital, we must hear from you.
Please. You can call in and be a guest. I gotta know.
Yeah. Patrick and I have some experience with nurses of our own. Makes things interesting.
Which, nothing wrong with nurses. You guys are beautiful. You do an amazing job. But for whatever reason, you have a really hard time logging into the HR portal and clocking in. It's okay. We are here to support you. So one thing we always want to try to end our podcast with is a best practice that you can take with you and help improve the life of you and your employees.
All right.
Warren, do you have a best practice for us today?
I do have a best practice.
Nice.
I am more prepared today than I was. Yes. You should infuse all of your company's drinking water with Adderall to get a much more productive and focused workforce.
And we'll leave it at that. I'm Patrick Consilis.
I'm Warren.
Thank you for listening.